So we have been studying a topic on recognizing God's voice. Started looking at that last week. Did you know that God talks to all of us? Every single one of us, God talks to us, but sometimes we do not recognize his voice. If I were to call you on the phone, I probably wouldn't have to tell you who I am. Right? Because I have a distinct voice. And so do you. And God has a distinct voice too. And so what we're trying to do is learn how to recognize God's voice above all the other chatter that goes on. Did you know that there's a lot of chatter in the world? A lot of chatter. And so what I want you to do, and I'm still growing in this, I haven't like, ooh, I'm all there right now, okay? I'm still growing in this. And what I want you to do is grow in this as well. And so I hope that's your heart, that you learn to listen to God's voice and not only learn to listen to it, but also follow him. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to follow. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me. Give us ears to hear your voice and a heart to follow your will. Can we pray together this morning? Would you stand again and take somebody by your hand and pray for them? If you don't know their name, ask them. And if you have a special prayer concern, just squeeze the hand of the person beside you, and they will pray for you. If you want to tell them what your concern is, that's great too. But if you choose not to, just squeeze their hand, and they'll know that they can lift you up. And actually, if they squeeze your hand, say, okay, I'm going to pray for you all week this week. Okay? Not just in this moment, but all week long. So let's pray. And you can pray out loud, you can pray silently, however you choose to do it. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. Lord, you know every single one of us. You know our deepest needs. Lord, you know us so intimately. Lord, you know the number of hair on our head. You know what kind of coffee we like. You know everything about us. And God, you want to be intimate with us. You want to have that relationship with us that we can only dream about. And so, Lord, I pray that today that we as your people would be able to hear you as I speak. Lord, that you would touch our hearts. Lord, there's those in here today who have needs, grieving, concerns. But Lord, we pray that you would just shut all that out right now so that we could hear you. Because this is a very important time for us. So Lord, we just submit ourselves to you, submit our ears to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So there is a lot of chatter today. News media, our government, Facebook, Twitter, all of social media. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I don't read everything that comes across my emails. If I miss a day of emails, I have about 80 to go through. Just a lot of stuff, but I just delete. Delete, 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 delete. Okay? Not yours, Rena. We can get caught up in what everybody else is saying and forget what God is saying. This light is there's a glare off this page, and I'm going to have to do something about it. That's better. But here's the deal. We have to stop the chatter of our minds before we can hear what God is saying to us. Last week, we looked at our thought life, and a lot of times we are engaged in our own thoughts rather than engaged in what God would tell us or what His thoughts are. Did you know that our thoughts can only come from three different places? Only three places. Self, Satan, and God. Now, you may get some input from other people, but foundationally, they only come from these three places, self, Satan, and God. Last week, we talked about self-thoughts. You remember the Jews, if you were here, the Jews were married to the law, remember? And then God told the Jews, or Paul did through the Holy Spirit, you are no longer married to the Jews. You are, man, my mouth is not speaking what I want to speak. You're no longer married to the law. I'm going to slow down. You're no longer married to the law. You are dead to the law. Therefore, your husband now is Jesus Christ, and you need to listen to Jesus Christ and follow Him. He is your husband. He would tell the barbarians, you're no longer married to your emotions. You're going to have to quiet your emotions so that you can listen to the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, because you are now married to Him. The Greeks are married to their intellect. And so a lot of times we have some great thinkers, but they're not as great as God is. They're not as great as God is. And so we need to put all of that chatter aside so that we can hear what God is saying. Now, when Paul says that the law is not our husband, he's not saying we should live in lawlessness. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that there's a higher law than the law that Moses gave, and that law is the law of the Spirit. Galatians 5:18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Isn't that interesting? If you're led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law. That's Galatians 5:18. So we have to stop the chatter. The second place our thoughts come from is Satan. And what does he sound like? Fear, lies, unbelief, death. Well, let's read and see what he says. In James chapter 3, verses 13 through 16, let's stand together for the reading of God's word, if you would. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitterness, envy, and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Don't think this is from God. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing, say every evil thing, are there. Jake, would you pray for me this morning, please?
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
So how do you know if your thoughts coming from Satan? If you have anger, bitterness, resentment, vengeance, murder in your heart. If you have envy, jealousy in your heart. Scripture says that's demonic. Okay? Earthly, sensual, demonic. Lying, somebody mentioned lying earlier. Envy and jealousy, it's mentioned here. I'm going to deal with the anger just a minute. So when you find you have a problem area, let's just say one of these areas in your life that is contrary to God's will, and you realize that Satan working in you, what I would encourage you to do is find a scripture verse that addresses those issues and begin to quote that, memorize that, meditate on it, and get it in your heart. Because that's what Jesus did. You remember when Satan was tempting him? He would always come back with a scripture verse. Always come back with a scripture verse. And the enemy's going to tempt you to do things that are contrary to the will of God. And it's particularly if you have a lean toward that, then I would suggest that you get a passage of scripture and address that spiritually. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. You know how I know that? Yeah, you guessed it. Yeah, yeah. So I'm a whole lot better now than I was 20 years ago. 20 days ago. No. But to take a passage of scripture that addresses that issue, and you just start making it come alive in your heart. And let the Lord speak to you through those things. I remember when I was, so here's what I did. I quoted that passage of scripture 100 times a day for probably 6 weeks. Okay. And then what would happen is when I'd get angry, this passage of scripture would come to mind every time. And sometimes I paid attention to it. And sometimes I didn't. But did you know that it's demonic? That's what scripture says. That is demonic. And I had to overcome some things in my own personal life after I received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I know you thought I was perfect whenever I came to Christ. That is not the case, and that's not the case with you. There are some things that you have to overcome because the enemy still wants to do everything he can to hold you back, to put you in bondage so that you don't go further in your relationship with Christ. But you are an overcomer. You are an overcomer, and you have to take these steps. You're not a weakling. You're not somebody you just lay down and say, oh, I can't do anything. And I've had people tell me that. Oh, I can't do anything. But God made me this way. Wrong. God didn't make you that way. Satan made you that way. And now you got to overcome it. Let me tell you about anger management classes. How many? Never mind. I'm not going to ask you. Did you? I don't want you to confess. Did you know that anger management classes don't work? Because you can't manage anger. You have to forgive people in order for anger to go away. That's what I had to learn. Oh, it wasn't about just quoting a scripture verse and it going away. No, I had to forgive people. Man, I didn't want to do that. But if I wanted to be free from my anger, I had to forgive people. If they taught in anger management, you've got to forgive, then it would work. Then it would work. But that's not the way, what they're teaching in many of these classes is not God's ordained prescription for the issues that we have. Unforgiveness is an open door for the enemy to control you. And I could go on about that. There are passages of scripture that talks about anger being a foot door, a foothold for the enemy to come into your life. Envy is demonic as well. Some translations translated this as jealousy. The distinction lies in this. that envy desires to deprive another of what he has, such as rioters in Portland, destroying shops and everything they come across, not because they want what they have, but because those individuals have it and they don't. They just want to destroy it. So that's what envy is. They want to destroy what someone else has worked hard to accomplish, and they just want to destroy it. Jealousy, on the other hand, desires to have the same or the same sort of thing for itself. It's really desirous of what others have. I was talking to a young lady this last week who was said, there's somebody in my at work who wants my truck, who wants my position at work, and she wants my house. I would say that's jealousy, right? I'm thinking that's demonic. Why would I think that? Because Scripture says it is. Hopefully, you've passed those two. But here comes a third one. It probably will slap most of us in the face. If you have self-seeking motives in your heart, it's demonic. It's sensual. It's earthly. It's demonic. Lust, pride, greed, self-gratification, self-anything is demonic. That's what Scripture says. So, let me ask you a question. When making decisions, how often are these the driving forces in your mind? Self-motivation, self-seeking, at the expense of someone else. God wants to bless us. But did you know that He blesses us whenever we do for others? He blesses us most when it's not about ourselves, it's about other people. Did you know that? And so anytime we have this greed and this self-gratification stuff coming in our heart, and that's our desire, and that's our motive, God says, I'm not into that because that's what Satan's into. And I can't bless you the way I want to bless you if that's your heart. So, you know, there's a passage of Scripture that somewhere bless others and I'll bless you. God is, He wants to bless us, but we've got to do it in His way and not our way, right? So, overcoming selfishness is a really big deal. It's a really big deal. Some people are really good at it. I'm still working on it. Okay? But it's a really big deal. We don't have to look very far in our society to see who's behind the chaos and confusion in our nation. We don't have to sit and wonder where the infighting or the power struggle originates in our government. It's demonic. Here's an idea. What if we ask God, what do we do about the financial crisis in our nation? Isn't that a thought? Here's another idea. What if we ask God what to do about the border situation down south? Isn't that a novel idea? Do you think He has an answer for that stuff? Who do you think is running the country, God or Satan? It's because, hey, and listen, there's infighting, there's selfish motives. Oh, it's my party. Oh, no, it's my party. I got to do the best thing for my party. That's satanic. That's demonic. That's not of God. Wouldn't it be great if we had a leader who said, God, I want to do what you want me to do, and I want And not just one leader, but let's just say a whole host of leaders that said, I just want to follow God. You think God could fix whatever's going on in our country? And then you've got those. What do we do about the Russia-Ukrainian crisis? Well, I think we ought to do this. I think we ought to do that. What if we said, God, what would you like for us to do? Wouldn't that be great just to follow the Lord? Man, how much peace, how much comfort, how much grace could we receive if we just did what God said? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise. And listen, not only for your country, but you as an individual. Lord, let it be. And I would say that many, if not all of us, fight against selfish motives. We fight against selfishness. It's part of us. We all have a tendency toward these things that I've mentioned. But listen, we don't have to allow these tendencies to be paramount and to speak into our lives. We don't have to. We don't have to. If we do, and we open the door, what happens is that the demonic will come in and rush in, and you will be driven by these attitudes because of demonic that you have invited into your life. The same with lying, the same with cheating, and manipulation. How many of you know some liars? Or maybe you've seen them on TV. Read about them in the paper. That, you know, just saying. Maybe seen them on the news media. Just saying. So, there's a passage of scripture in 1 Kings chapter 22. It's kind of long. I'm not going to read it all. But I'm going to tell you part of it, and then I'm going to read part of it. Okay? So there was this king of Israel named Ahab. You remember him? Who was his wife? Jezebel. Right. Wonderful lady. Let me back up. Syria had come in prior to some years before, and had conquered a city that had been owned by Israel named Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab said, man, I'm going to get that city back. I'm going to go and I'm going to fight Syria and I'm going to get that city back. And so here comes Jehoshaphat, who's a godly man. Ahab was an ungodly man. Actually, he sought, Baal was his god, and he sought the prophets of Baal. And so he asked the prophets of Baal, 400 of them. He said, what, should I go against Ramoth-Gilead and fight against them? And they said, yes, if you go, you'll conquer. And so he said, hey, Jehoshaphat, would you come with me and fight against Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said, well, you know what? I'm as you are, my men are your men. We'll just do it together. My horses are your horses, my chariots are your chariots. We're just going to do it together. And Ahab says, man, my prophet said it's good. It's a good to go. And Jehoshaphat looks around and says, isn't there a prophet of the Lord somewhere we can ask? And he didn't say this, but in Jehoshaphat's heart, he's like, I really don't trust these guys. I don't think they've heard correctly. So it's very important that you know who you're listening to. He said, I don't think they've heard correctly. In his heart, he didn't say that out loud, but he said, isn't there one prophet of the Lord that we can find? And Ahab says, yeah, there's a guy, his name is Micaiah. I'm going to call him Mickey. His name's Mickey, but every time he prophesies regarding me, it's not good. So I don't like to hear him. And so Jehoshaphat said, go get Mickey. And so when he arrived in chapter 22, 15 through 23, when he arrived, the king asked him, Mickey, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Attack and be victorious, he answered, and I'm going to say in a sarcastic way. Okay. For the Lord will give it into your hand. King said to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Jehovah. Then Mickey answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad? Mickey continued, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the hosts of heaven standing around him on his right hand, on his left. And this is what Mickey saw. I saw the Lord, and the Lord said, how can we entice Ahab to war against Ramoth Gilead? And one angel said this, one angel said that. And then a spirit comes up and he says, hey, I can be a lying spirit. And I can go to his prophets and I can instill a lie in their heart and they will tell Ahab and they will receive it. Now, why would Ahab want to listen to lying prophets rather than listening to the prophet of the Lord? And the reason is because he didn't want to do what God told him anyway. Okay? That's the reason. He didn't want to do what God said. And so, the Lord, the Lord said to this spirit, you will succeed in enticing him. Go and do it. So now, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you, Mickey told him. Okay. Now, Ahab, now there's a warning from the Lord. Even to a wicked dude, there's a warning from the Lord. And Ahab said, he just always tells me bad things. I don't want to listen to what he has to say. I want to listen to my prophet. Do you know people who just gather people around them that let them that just listens to what people who they want to hear? That didn't sound it. You know what I mean? Yeah, itching ears. They just want to listen to what they want to hear rather than what's truth. Well, that was Ahab. He preferred listening to lying prophets. And he'd done this for year after year after year after year. And God said, because you want to listen to lying prophets, I'm going to send you a lying spirit. Okay? And here's the deal. We can open our heart to lying spirits. We can open our heart to envious, jealousy, anger. We can open our heart to any of these spirits. Demonic. It's demonic. We can open our heart to any of these things if we continue in doing these things. And that's what Ahab did. He continued to do that. And here's the deal. Once we give our heart to that kind of stuff, once we give our heart to hellish things, you're opening your heart to demons. Okay? And some of you may need to be delivered from some of these stuff because now you don't have any control over it. So, here's the deal. Are you listening to Satan thoughts? If you are, then I would suggest this to you, that you turn away from those things, because that's what Ahab did. He was listening to satanic thoughts. He was listening to demonic thoughts, self-seeking in his heart. He wanted this Ramoth Gilead. That's what he wanted. I want to get this back. Some jealousy, envy. I'm going to get this back. I'm going to take it back because it's mine and I deserve it. Do you reckon God could have given that back to him at any time? But It has to be done in his time and in his way. And Ahab went away. And let me tell you the rest of the story. I wasn't planning on telling you this, but this is crazy. So when he heard, he kind of believed what Mickey said. He kind of believed what Mickey said, because here's what he said. He said to Jehoshaphat, he said, listen, I'm going to just pretend to be a regular soldier, and you put on all your royal robes, and you be the leader of this campaign. Well, Syria, the king of Syria, had told his army, I don't want you to fight against anyone except the king of Israel, which was Ahab. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. So his intent was, if anybody gets killed, it's not going to be me. It's going to be Joe. And so Joe dressed in his kingly apparel and kingly robe. And do you know who the Syria began shooting at? Joe. They thought, this is the king of Israel, so we're going to kill him. That's what king said. And then it somehow, well, I think Joe started yelling, and they realized it wasn't Ahab. But then scripture says that a soldier of Syria drew his bow at a venture and just let loose. And that arrow found Ahab. And he died in his chariot. I bet Ahab had wished he had listened to Mickey. And go on with the story. You need to read the whole thing, because there's a lot of good stuff in here. Later on, they ask Joe to come and partner with them again. And Joe said, no, I got my own deal. He learned, okay? We need to learn. So the deal was, he had built some ships and he was traveling around getting stuff. And Israel approached him and said, hey, can we go with you? And Joe said, nope, sorry, I'm done with that. Listen, there comes a time when we need to say, we're done with that. I'm done with that. Some of you might need to say, I'm done with those friends, because they're not speaking truth in my ears. They're not hearing from the Lord. They're hearing from other sources. And you need to say, I'm done with that. Anything that's leading you off the path of the Lord, you need to say, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. So, we're not to listen to legalism. We're not to listen to our intellect. We're not to listen to our emotions. We're not listening to envy, jealousy, anger, self-seeking motives. That's not what we're listening to. We're listening to God. So how do you know? So when you have thoughts, so you need to think about every thought. Okay? So when you get a thought, you need to think about that thought. And you need to think about, where is this thought coming from? Is this thought causing you anxiety? Guess where it's from? Is this thought causing you anger? Is this causing you jealousy, envy, self-seeking? Where's that thought coming from? Oh, that's from God. I know He wants to bless me. And I know He wants to get at my enemies. Guess what? That may not be from God. Here's the deal. Let's read on in James chapter 1. So, what do God's thoughts entail? Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above, say above, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's thoughts from above. And you can tell if a person is motivated from down there or up there by their actions. Okay? So, you can know if what has been spoken or being spoken is from God or from Satan. Is it pure? Is it pure? Is it peaceable? Is it gentle, etc.? So when you have God thoughts, those are the same kind of emotions that come within you when you have God thoughts. Does that make sense? You're not going to act correctly if you're not thinking correctly. And so what God is trying, so when you have God thoughts, it's to help you with your actions as well. And so pure means sacred, means holy, and free from defilement. That's what holy means. So when you're listening to God, you've got your self-talk has been eliminated. You've quieted them. You're ruminating over issues, worrying, anxious thoughts are all quiet. Selfishness, envy, jealousy, anger, it's dealt with. Demon talk is quieted. Pure means that it corresponds with Scripture. The thoughts that you have, does it line up with what God says in His Word? If it doesn't, you're probably not hearing from God. Okay? And so that's why it's so very important that you get a good handle on this word, because you're not going to be able to discern God's thoughts if you don't know what God says. Because God's not going to say something in your spirit that He hasn't already affirmed in His word. Okay? So it's very important if you want to hear from God and discern correctly, then one of the things you have to do is know His word. Know His word. You need to know if there's a counterfeit or if it is good. The second thing we find is that the word of God is peaceable. Did you know that God never told us to argue? As a matter of fact, He says, don't argue. 2 Timothy 2:24, I didn't put this in here, it just came to mind. 2 Timothy 2:24, a servant of the Lord must not argue, but be gentle to all. What? Everybody? Yep, especially that person. Servant of the Lord must not argue, but be gentle to all. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, and perhaps God will grant them repentance, seeing that they have been taken captive by the enemy to do His will. How do I know that passage? When God first showed me that passage, a servant of the Lord must not argue, I started arguing with Him. What if it's her fault? What if it's His fault? Okay, Lord. Okay. A servant of the Lord must not argue. Listen, there are a lot of people you want to argue with. But Scripture says if you want to bring them out of captivity, if you want the Lord to grant them repentance, then what you're going to have to do is be gentle. What you're going to have to do is speak instruction and gentleness. Not fighting, not arguing. Man, that's tough. But did you know that arguing is from the enemy? Did Jesus ever argue? I thought I was thinking about this the other day. I can't remember a time in Scripture where I saw Jesus arguing. He just stated the fact, take it or leave it. But he usually did it in gentleness. There were some times he had to get their attention. Yep. So, peaceable or peaceful is another way this word is translated. So here's the deal. When you hear from God, there is a peace that drops in your heart. A peace that drops in your heart. And it's first pure, then peaceable. And I don't want to rush through this because this is very important. You remember when Joseph was in prison? Genesis chapter 21, something like that. And Pharaoh had a dream. And so Pharaoh was told that Joseph can interpret dreams. So he said, bring Joseph out. And the Pharaoh said to Joseph, I understand that you can interpret dreams. And he said, it's not within me. God does that. And here's the deal. He says to Pharaoh, now Pharaoh was not a Christian. Pharaoh was not a God follower. Pharaoh was not faithful to the Lord. Pharaoh was his own God. He was from Egypt. And Joseph told him, my God will give you an answer of peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. That's the word Joseph used. My God will give you an answer of shalom. How did Pharaoh know that what Joseph told him was from God? I mean, he could have said, I don't believe you. But that's not what he said. How did Pharaoh know what Joseph told him was from God? And the reason is because an answer of peace dropped in his heart. An answer of peace dropped in his heart. And Pharaoh says, tell me what to do, Joseph. I understand. I know now that you're a man of God and God speaks to you. Tell me what we're to do. How did he know that? Because the word of peace dropped in his heart. Bam. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How many of you make decisions only when the peace of God is ruling? Here's the deal. We need to pray until we get an answer from the Lord, and when we get an answer from the Lord, peace will reign in our heart. Okay? How do you know when you have heard from the Lord? Because the peace that drops in your heart. Okay? Now, it takes a minute to work through that. It takes a minute to learn that. It takes a minute to get to a place where you can recognize, that's it, because there's a lot of counterfeits. But it's first pure, then it's peaceable. To discern God's thoughts, you need to listen to your thoughts and think about the thoughts. Ask yourself, from where do these thoughts originate? Is it truth? Does it bring peace or harm to the people that I'm associated with? Who does it bring glory to? And is there abundant peace that drops in your heart with the answer?
So today, you may have recognized that you don't have a relationship with God to the point where you can call Him Father. God wants a relationship with every one of us, and just because you believe in God doesn't give you access to Him. The only access you have is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And if you receive Christ, this is what Scripture says. There's no other mediator between God and man except Jesus Christ. It's not Mother Mary. It's not St. Patrick, although I like St. Patrick. It's not any of it. It's Jesus and Him alone. And if you do not have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never yielded your life to Him, then you are separated from God and will be for eternity. The Lord loves you. God loves you. And He wants you to come into His family. He wants you to be His child. He wants to have a relationship with you. But you have to repent of your sins, ask God to forgive you. God, this is what I've done. And I am so very sorry. Please forgive me. I want Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Some of you may be here today and you are in bondage. You want to get away from the things we talked about that are demonic, but you have no freedom and you are still in bondage. God wants to deliver you from your bondage. One of the things I forgot to mention, and I should have mentioned, in order to find God's will, you have to have no will of your own. Okay? You have to have no will of your own. You have to surrender totally to Him. And nothing is outside of what you're willing to do if God asks you to. I have a brother who's now a pastor or has been for many years. Actually, he's retired now. He was in Angola, Africa, working for an oil rig, an oil company on an oil rig. And he came to know Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and the Lord called him to preach. And he said, God, I'll serve you anywhere you want me to, except Angola, Africa. And man, he did not have any rest. He did not have any peace. He was miserable. Until he finally said, God, I came here to make money. If you want me to stay here in Angola, Africa, and serve you, that's what I'm going to do. And God said, I didn't want you to be here in Angola, Africa. I just wanted you to be willing. Just wanted you to be willing. He was really not good at speaking languages anyway. So, not even English. That's all right. Neither am I. But here's the deal. Are you willing to surrender your will to God? Are you willing? Because you'll never hear God as long as you have self in the way. Father, I come before you today. And as we pray, I ask you, Lord, just to move in the service. Lord, I just, before I go on and pray, with every head bowed, every eye closed, is there someone here today who does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you would like to have that relationship? I want to pray for you. Anyone here today? Okay. I'm assuming everyone here is a believer. And so, Lord, I'm just asking you to move upon our hearts. Lord, if there's anyone here in bondage, then I pray that, God, they would be free today. Lord, I pray for them. Lord, if there's anyone here who needs to surrender their will to you, Lord, then I pray that that would take place today. Lord, I want to pray for them. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would move in our hearts, move in this space. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.